There is something about the little poor man of Assisi that is able to cross borders of language, race, culture and national boundaries. Cardinal Wilfrid Napier of South Africa is simultaneously an African, a Franciscan and a cardinal. During a recent visit to Rome, he explained why St. Francis of Assisi is relevant to Africa and Africans today.
I think the first thing I would say about Francis being relevant to Africa is that he was a person who I think was very open to other people. And I think that's very much an African characteristic. He was very fond of singing. And anyone who spent any time at all in Africa will know just how much Africans love singing. And if you sing in Africa, you have to dance, or there's got to be some bodily movement, clapping or drumming or whatever. So the whole person is engaged. And when you look at the spirituality of St. Francis, in almost everything he did, it was his whole personality. It wasn't just the intellectual or the faith. It was the whole person all the time. Secondly, I think Francis was one who realized that you can't do anything on your own. And we in southern Africa have an expression, umuntu ngumuntu ngabanye abantu, which means a person is a person through other people. So you're never on your own in whatever you're doing and living out your full expression of yourself. It's always together with other people. So just from a few of those angles, I think Francis has a certain affinity, I think, with the African character.
Yes, because I often used to think that Africans have music in their veins rather than blood.
That's right, yeah. Everything gets into a song in one form or another. And it's always it's a case of almost anything, whatever the occasion, there's going to be singing. Whether it's church, whether it's a party, whether it's a funeral, whatever it is, there's always going to be singing. Whether it's in protest, it's always going to be singing. So there's certainly something about the singing being part of the way in which you engage your whole person. And it's not just your mouth, it's the whole person that's engaged.
Because it also seems to me that as Franciscans, we've got this beautiful understanding of perfect joy and finding joy in the midst of suffering. And that was very specially an attribute of Francis.
Now, when people used to visit us in South Africa, or they'd see a group of South Africans, they'd always say, but you're suffering so much under apartheid. How come you people are always laughing, always in a good mood? And I think our response was always, well, I suppose it's the easiest way to fight back against something is just to laugh it off, in a sense. And not to let it get you down, not to get into fits of depression. And I think that was also very much Francis's characteristic. He went out when things were, I mean, that little story of his about perfect joy. If you come home one night, it's rainy, it's wet, it's cold, and no one wants to let you into the friary. That's perfect joy, you know? And he would sing about that. So I think that's one. But another, on a more serious note, I think another aspect where the relevance of Francis would come in is for Africans, I think, religion is still a very, very serious business. It's not something you do on the surface. True, a lot of the men will say the women and children must go to church and they've got their own business to look after. But generally, when an African gets engaged in religion, it's taken as a very serious thing. And I think it's still because, by and large, Africans are at the mercy of nature, at mercy of all kinds of other forces. And I think when people are in that kind of a situation, they realize their vulnerability. They realize their need for somebody to protect, to guide, and to inspire them. And I think that's why religion is such an important part of the African way of life.
The Cardinal continued, explaining why the message of Pope Benedict XVI has been so important to his people in South Africa as they face today's challenges.
When Francis started off his vocation, of course, it was very much a vocation about going and carrying out the instruction from the San Damiano cross, rebuild my church or repair my church, which you can see is falling down. And Francis, from that moment, seemed to have in his mind that whatever he did with his life, it had to be tied to the church in some way or another. And at the moment, I believe that Benedict XVI, when he was elected pope, already in those very first few days after his election, had indicated a number of directions in which he was going to take the church. And one of those was about the building peace and reconciliation. A second one was renewing the faith, personal faith, in order to renew the church, to rebuild the church, so that the church would have an impact on society. And if there's anything needed in Africa at the moment, I think it is just that. With the HIV and AIDS pandemic having the impact that it is on society, I think the time is really ripe now for the church to make an even bigger impact by getting the message across, which was the first message that Jesus preached: repent and believe the good news. And I think that's the only way in which we are actually going to get on top of that problem and many others. That's by changing our behavior so it conforms with what the church is teaching, rather than asking the church to change its teaching to what the world says is the way forward.
Because I remember, okay, it's many years ago now, but one of the bishops of Mozambique, who was himself a Franciscan, I think he was a Fray Minor, saying that to be an African is to believe in God. And I haven't yet found an African atheist.
Yes, I don't think you will, because, you know, if it isn't direct belief in God, to extract from an African the idea of belief in the spirit world would be a very difficult thing to get. You'd never get that out of him, I don't believe. And the ancestors are seen as members of that spiritual world who can influence our lives because they are in communication with God in some way. Not very clear, the theology isn't very clear, but there is that they're intermediaries in some form. God is too great to busy himself with human things, so the ancestors play that role. And I think you'd have to go a long way before you'd actually find an African who is not going to believe in some form or other in his ancestors.